Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6, and we're continuing our study of the Sermon on the Mount. And we've been in the first half of chapter number 6, first 18 verses or so, where the Lord preached through what I kind of divided up as four areas of spiritual life. And so there's almsgiving. Almsgiving just includes all of the good things that we do, including our giving. But almsgiving, we broke it down and saw that even our good works and the good deeds that the Lord allows us to do are part of that. So then we have our prayer life. The Lord talked about our prayer life, and he talked about forgiveness, and then he talked about fasting. So the first 18 verses, the Lord really gives, I mean, everything we do probably fits into one of those categories. Your almsgiving is your service to the Lord, your good things that you do for him. Your prayer has to do with your relationship with God. Forgiveness has to do with your relationship to all the other people. And then we said fasting has to do with your relationship with you. And so really dealing with the flesh. And so really everything that we encounter, or it's going to fit into one of those four boxes. So I know fasting, preaching that right before Thanksgiving was a little untimely. But it is what it is. It's where we were. And so anyway, I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving, by the way. So in short, the first 18 verses deal with our spiritual life. All right. The last verses here of the chapter, I believe these last 16 verses deal with what I'm going to call the sojourner's life. I'm careful not to label it the worldly life because we're not supposed to be worldly. But we are in the world, so we will deal with the world. You cannot isolate yourself from the world. In fact, Jesus never even intended us to do that. We have to live in the world. It's just that we're not supposed to be of the world. Remember what Jesus prayed when he prayed for us in John 17. He prayed this, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, I pray that thou shouldest I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." So the Lord has us on the earth for a reason, right? If you're still here, there's reason for you to be here. God has a purpose for you. Today, I guess I should have given a praise, Brother Wayne. Today, I was leaving my house over here, doing a little bit of work this afternoon, and I turned right out on 51, and I did not see this huge truck that was coming down the road, and thankfully it was on Brother Mark's side of the car. No, I'm just kidding. That was rude. No, I honestly never saw it. I turned right in front of him. He's barreling down there. I was in the wrong, turned in front of him. I immediately see him in my rearview mirror and just pulled off to the side of the road so he could go by. And I looked at Brother Mark. I said, "I guess God wants me on the earth one more day, because if we're here, we're here for a reason." I should have gave a praise that God preserved us there. And next time I'm going to look about four times before I make that turn. I don't know how I didn't see him, but anyway, I didn't. And so if we're here, he has a purpose for us. And so we're in the world. We're here. We're in the world. We're going to deal with worldly things. And one of the worldly things we're going to deal with is possessions, what the Lord is going to call treasure in our passage tonight. So we're in Matthew 6. In verse 19, so we're starting this second section of the chapter where the Lord tells us how to deal with the sojourner's life or our time here on earth. And he starts by talking about our treasures, our money. What are we going to do with our money, the things that we have? And so let's look at verse 19 through 24 tonight. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, Actually, we're going to hold off on verse 25. I started reading it and I thought, no, we're not going there yet. We're going to stop with verse 24. So let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. We'll pray quickly and I'll get right into the message. Father, I do pray that you'd help us as we look at these few verses here, dealing with, Lord, really our heart and what our focus is and what our service is going to be to. Lord, we pray that you'd give wisdom, that you'd give clarity to the text and help us to really to look at the word tonight as a mirror. Lord, help us just to look into it and see ourselves, Lord. And Father, if you would point out the flaws that we need to see, that we might correct those. And Lord, I pray you'd help me as I preach. Just give me the words to say, Father. May you be lifted up. And God, may you truly get all the glory from anything that would happen tonight. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you look closely at the scriptures here, and these are the type of scriptures I love, because there is a three-step progression in these verses. So from verse 19 through 24, we see the Lord teaching a truth, and he teaches it in a progression. There's three steps here that we will see. But I'm gonna teach this backwards, if you'll bear with me. I'm going to start at step three, and we're going to work backwards to step one, because I think that it will make sense that way. And also, I just believe it will be, I just believe it's more understandable, at least to me, maybe to look at it backwards. So we're going to start actually with verse 24. Verse 24 is step three in the progression that the Lord's teaching. And again, remember, he starts out verse 19 talking about our treasures, where our treasures are. And he says, don't lay up treasures on earth, lay up treasures in heaven, rather. And he talks about our eye or our mind, where our mind is. And then he gets into verse 24, no man can serve two masters. So we need to get this straight before I really get into the progression or the steps or preach the message. Just understand, you can't serve two masters. Okay, you need to understand that, because what's going to happen here is that, you know, you hear a message like this and you kind of think, yeah, that's great, but I can do both, right? I can serve this and I can also serve God. And the truth is, here's what Jesus said. No man can serve two masters. He says this, ye cannot serve God and mammon. So here in this third step, again, I know it's strange to start at step three, but I believe this will make sense. We find a man in the third step here who is divided in whom he will serve, okay? In whom he will serve. So on the one hand, we're at the conclusion, but on the one hand, he could serve God. On the other hand, he could serve mammon. The implication to that is that mammon has become a god of sorts, that he is serving and choosing to serve rather than serving God. So again, remember that the finality here is who we will serve, right? The finality is what will we do? How will our life, how will we carry out our life? Who will be, we might say, first place in our life? Who will we serve? It'll either be God or mammon. What is mammon? Well, let's define it really quick so we can get into it. You probably don't use the word mammon very often. Maybe you only use the word mammon when you're reading Matthew chapter 6. That might be the only time that you use that word, but it was a word that has an interesting linguistic progression. The fact that it sort of changed meaning over time, it's really interesting. The word mammon is closely related to a word that you do say often. It's the word amen. Okay, so when you see the word mammon, you can almost see the word amen in that word. And that word amen has to do with trustworthiness or agreement, right? When you say amen, you're affirming something that you agree with. Would you agree with that? Okay, see, we got it, right? Or at least Brother Mark did there. That was a preacher's joke, right? Try to get you to say amen. But no, you say amen because you're trusting in what was said. You're in agreement with what was said. Now, the word mammon is not the same as amen. It just sort of stems from that word. And it means something like this. Riches or treasure, which we call money today, right? We don't call our money treasure or our riches. Most of us don't have enough of it to call it those things. Here's what it is. It's money or treasure, riches that are entrusted. Okay. That's what the word mammon means. So it's money, riches, or treasure that are entrusted. So example, when my kids are little, and as they get older, they do less of this. When my kids are little, they get a card from their grandparents, and there's like a $50 bill in there. And I'm like, okay, I grew up with you, because their grandparents are my parents. And I'm thinking, where were these $50 bills at my birthday? You know, and but anyway, no, there'd be like some money in there. And you know that a six-year-old kid has no concept of money, right? To them, it's like it came from nowhere. They can buy a aircraft with it if they want. I mean, it's just, it has no value or meaning to them yet because they haven't had to work. They don't know how hard it is to get it and what it really represents. And so when my kids were littler, and so they're able to do this on their own now, but my wife would immediately be like, I'll take that. And she wasn't stealing it. She was putting it in a safe place. Because if you leave the $50 bill with a six-year-old, it ends up getting folded into a paper airplane or wadded up and under a bed somewhere, and it's not safe. So what happens is my wife would then take the money and keep it in her purse or keep it in trust, okay? That's mammon. If I were to bring some money to my neighbor and say, hey, I'm going to be out of town for a while, but I don't want to leave this at my house. I need you to watch over it, and I give it to him. I'm entrusting him with that money. Does that make sense? That's mammon. So maybe the modern day equivalent would be to take some money or a retirement or something like that and put it in a very safe account. Put it up for safekeeping. Now, this is important because of what Jesus is preaching here. It's not just money. It's money which is entrusted. But over time, because, by the way, nothing wrong with putting your money in a safe place. I think that would be pretty smart, right? Jesus alludes to this in the passage that the things that we have here on earth are subject to thievery. He says that. So not a bad idea to have a good savings account or a place where you put your money in trust. But what's interesting about the word is that over time, the word adopted a more negative connotation. It began as that which is entrusted, and it changed to this, that in which man trusts. Now, there's a big difference there between something that is entrusted or something in which we trust, okay? So when the Lord is talking about mammon and you can't serve both, what's being talked about here is riches that are said to be trustworthy or that we're going to put our trust in. Now, we know the New Testament teaching and Jesus teaching that we are not to trust in riches. In Mark chapter number 10 and verse 24, it says, the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus again answered and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Notice, he's not saying how hard is it for someone that has a lot of money. He says, how hard is it for them that trust in riches? Why is it hard? Well, Jesus said it's like trying to put a camel through the eye of a needle. It's very difficult for someone who trusts in riches to get to the kingdom. Why? Because they're not trusting in God. You can't have two masters. So in order for them to trust the Lord for their salvation, they'd have to put aside their trust in mammon or riches. Okay? So the New Testament teaching is we're not going to trust in riches. But this third step is talking about someone who has got their trust. They're either serving God, therefore their trust is in God, or they're serving mammon, and therefore their trust is in mammon. And let me explain this. I've had time to think about some of these verses and let them soak in. And sometimes it's hard to explain some of the things that the Lord gives you just when you're meditating. But if you trust in mammon, okay, you're trusting in riches, what will you give most of your time, effort, and energy to? More of it, right? If I'm counting on the bank account, then I'm going to serve the bank account. And before long, it's not the money that's serving me, it's me that's serving the money. And this, I don't apologize. This passage here is just, it's dealing with money. So that's where we are. We live in the world. Money is it's a worldly thing. You have to have it to get by. So we as Christians need to know how to approach it, how to deal with it. Nothing wrong with having it, but there's definitely wrong ways to think about it or to use it, okay? And so we need to know what the Lord's telling us. Well, in this third step, he's saying, here is a person who is not only trusting in riches, but now they're serving riches. So you understand what's going on is what they're trusting in starts to affect who they serve and who they give their time to. And so we have a limited amount of time on the earth. There's just so many years that God grants us while we're here. And if our God is mammon, we're going to spend most of our time, our effort, our energy trying to gain more of what we're trusting in. And what the Lord is saying here, and again, we're going to get to verse 19, but what he's saying is if we spend our whole lifetime just gathering up the stuff of the world in piles, and then we die, it's all for nothing. You say, well, I want something to give to my kids. Why? I mean, listen, I want to give something to my kids too. But do you understand? When they live out their lives, they're going to leave it behind as well. It all stays here. It all stays here. Eventually, it all stays here. And so the problem is, once we got to the third step of the progression here, we're dealing with someone who's counting on the money, and therefore their life, their goals, their plans, their dreams, everything they do has to do with more mammon, more money which can be trusted. You can't do both. There's examples of this in the Scripture. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24 through 34. You can read it later if you'd like. But the Assyrians had taken captive Israel. And Israel, of course, is then removed from their land, and they've come in and they've settled. And so there's all the gods of the Assyrians all around. And God's not pleased with them because they begin to worship and serve other gods as Israel does every time some other nation takes control of them. And so they do what is, you might say, remarkable, but not necessarily in a good way. They took a Jewish priest and they had him come in there and teach them the ways of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord. They had him teach the ways of the Lord, but not so that they could only serve him, but so that they could mix him with the other things going on. They just wanted to, they said, okay, this God of the Hebrews is plaguing us. And so they said, we need to add him to our list of gods. And if you go read the passage there, what you'll find is God was not pleased with that. In fact, the Bible says this, they feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. It did not work out well because there's great danger in trying to serve the Lord and serve others. And Jesus simply told us here in Matthew 6, you just can't do it. And so we're not to the punchline yet. We're to the result. And so the first thing I like to do, and the reason I'm doing this backwards is because it's like, let's just get a hold of where we are in our life, and then we'll figure out how we got there by looking at step two and step one. Where are we in our life? What am I serving? Am I serving God or some other little g God? Am I serving God or, as Jesus says, mammon? Read a story of a rancher, and a small-time rancher. He didn't have much, him and his wife, and just trying to make a living. And one of their best cows delivered two calves one year, and they weren't expecting any at all, and delivered two calves that year. And so he gets really excited. He comes in, he's praising the Lord. He's saying, the Lord gave us two calves, and one of them's, I think, red, and one of them's black, and they're just beautiful, and we'll be able to get through. And he said, you know, he's telling his wife, he said, you know, I think we ought to give one of these to the Lord. I think it'd just be right. God's blessed us. We weren't expecting it. And so we're going to give one of these to the Lord. We're going to raise them both the same way. And when it comes time to sell them, we're going to take the proceeds from the sale of one of these, and we're going to give it to the Lord. And the wife said, okay, that sounds great. I'm excited about that. Which one do you want to give to the Lord? He said, well, there's no need to decide now. We're just going to raise them both the same way. And she said, okay, that sounds good. Well, after some time, the rancher comes in late at night. He's been working a long day. He comes in, and he's got a sad look on his face. His wife said, what happened? He said, I don't know how to tell you this, but the Lord's calf died. You know, it's always the Lord's calf that dies. You say, what do you mean? When money gets tight, what is it that we set aside first? Let me ask you this. When money gets tight, when we're struggling, we know the tithe check is coming or the missions gift is coming or whatever it is. When money gets tight, what is it that we prefer to set aside first? The Lord's calf. When my time gets tight, when my schedule gets tight, listen, what is it? And I know church is on Sunday. Thank you, Brother Wayne, for that testimony, by the way, tonight. If that was a different testimony, this would be real awkward. But no, I'm just kidding. No, when our schedule gets tight, what is it that the Lord's calf always dies? Well, I was gonna, but this happened, so obviously the Lord will have to take a back seat here. Okay, Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. You got to make a choice. That's tough. How did we get there? Well, we got to go back and look at step 2 and 1. Step 2 is okay, get this, if you're taking notes. Step 3 is your service, your actions, what you're doing, how you would describe your will, what you do, okay? Step 2 is found in verse 22 and 23. So we're just backing up a couple verses. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So verse 24, the third step dealt with our actions, our service. These verses deal with what Jesus says is our eye. Our eye. What we would say is this. It's the focus of our mind. Okay? The focus of our mind. What are you looking at? What's the vision? Okay, your eye. And if your eye is single, actually, let's look at the word evil first. If your eye be evil, the word evil there is not referring to moral evil. Okay, you can look up the word. It's not referring to wickedness in general. It's like if we were to say a bad happenstance. In older English, you would say that is an evil, right? A bad happenstance. You might even say like this. If it's referring to the eye being evil, it could even be referring to like a diseased eye that was not seeing clearly. Or an eye that, because it is contrasted with a singular eye, it could be an eye that's seeing double or seeing too much. So there's something wrong with the vision. Does that make sense? If thine eye be evil, he's saying if there's something wrong with your vision, if there's something wrong, and get in your mind, it's not talking about these eyeballs in your head, it's talking about your spiritual outlook. And if there's something wrong with your spiritual vision, if your eye be evil, well then it's going to lead to step number 3. And what's step number 3? Serving the wrong master. So the focus here in step 2 is relating to our mind, what our focus is, what we're thinking about. Someone who's not thinking clearly about worldly possessions is going to choose to serve the wrong master. Okay? So if I'm not thinking right, if I'm confused by all the glitter of the world, and there's a lot of glitter, right? And if I'm confused by all those things, and if I don't have it sorted out in my mind what's really important and what's not, then I would find myself in step 3 serving the wrong master. And it's because I have the wrong focus. Does that make sense? And so that's a natural progression. You do things wrong because you think wrong. That makes sense? I think that's easy to see even in normal everyday life. See, some of you buy turkey bacon. And I've preached about turkey bacon a few times. But you buy that stuff because you think turkeys have bacon. And let me be let me for like the fifth time tell you, turkeys don't have bacon. You should look at a turkey next Thanksgiving and ask your butcher, where's the bacon? It does not exist. But if you think turkeys have bacon, you'll be like, hey, I'm buying this turkey bacon. It's healthier. And maybe it is healthier. I'm just telling you, it's not turkey bacon. It's not. It may be turkey. It's definitely not bacon. Again, something wrong here. I'm serious. This turkey bacon, that stuff. And listen, someone's going to be mad. I eat turkey bacon. Why? Because it's my wife buys it. I can't talk her out of it. No, I'm just kidding. What was I supposed to be doing here? Preaching? Oh, yeah. No, the way we think affects our actions. That's really simple. And if our eye is not single, straight, clear, if we don't have a good understanding, then we're going to act wrong. So how did we get out of focus? Okay, step one. So we're going to go back and look at step one. How did we get out of focus? So again, let me review. The third step is what we're doing, our actions, our service. The second step was, well, how we think in our mind and our vision. Was it clear? Was it not? So now the first step. Let's look at the first step. Matthew 6, look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now look at, here's the punchline of those verses. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. So we have three steps. The heart, the mind, and the actions. First, the Lord deals with our heart, and then He tells us about our mind, then He deals with our actions. Let me say it like this. It's like this. What we love affects our focus, and then our focus informs our service. Does that make sense? So it all begins with the heart. Starting with the heart, it moves to our mind and our focus, and eventually overtakes our actions, our will. And if we're not careful, if we have a heart problem, it'll affect our focus, and then we'll have a focus problem. And then if we have a focus problem, it'll affect our actions, and we'll have a service problem. So notice in verse 21, it says this. I'm going to be blunt here in a second. I want you to be prepared. Where our treasure is, let me just read it because I'm going to mess it up here. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Notice, it does not say, where your heart is, there will be your treasure. There's a difference. You could say, oh, I love the Lord so much, and I love the Bible, and I love church, and so then I'm going to do this, that, or the other. That's great. That's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying, for where your what? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Here's what the Lord's saying. I've got a litmus test for you. Show me your treasure, and I'll tell you where your heart is. That's what He's saying. He's not saying, if you love me, then your treasure is obviously going to be in heaven. Like it's some kind of a thing that if you just love the Lord, and you're just, you know, you just really have a, you inwardly, you think you have this passion for the Lord, you're just going to have treasure in heaven. That's not what He's saying. He's saying, show me where your treasure is, and I'll tell you where your heart is. So again, if we're serving the wrong God, we have the wrong focus somewhere. Why would we have the wrong focus? Well, Jesus says, well, show me where your treasure is, and I'll tell you. Where's your treasure? What's your treasure? Well, In the passage here, I tried because I don't like preaching about money. I really don't. It's uncomfortable for, well, I don't know. Some preachers seem to enjoy it. I don't like preaching about money, but I can't, there's no way I can get away from it here. Our treasure is our stuff. That's what it is. It's our money. It's our gold, our silver, our precious stones. It's our house. It's our F-150, or if you drive a Chevy, it's our stuff. And Jesus says, let me see your stuff. Where your treasure is, again, he's referring to earthly possessions. Because sometimes we think he's talking about our heavenly treasures. He talks about that in a minute. But in this verse, he's saying, show me your treasure. Where's your money now? What are you investing in today? That's what he's saying. Where are you prioritizing the junk that you have? And I'll tell you where your heart is. If we want to know what we really love, we could probably go look in our checkbook and see what we spend money on. That's what the Lord's saying. And is that not true? It's absolutely true. Notice the Jews in those days would have regarded treasure as this. You'll see this a lot in the Bible. Fine linen of purple and scarlet. Change of raiment, right? We're all rich beyond measure. You know why? Because we got dozens of t-shirts and jeans and clothes. And like a change of raiment to them was like, you're rich. You have a couple changes of raiment, you're rich. So fine linen, okay? Then he talks about, then the Bible talks about gold and silver and precious stones, precious metals as well. Notice then the Lord talks of these as being subject to moths, rust, and theft. What does a moth eat? Fine linen, even purple and scarlet. What rusts? Precious metals. And what are the thieves after? Gold and silver, precious stones. What he's saying is, he's saying all the things you value, he's talking about their earthly treasures. And he's like, these things that you value are subject to rust, moths, and thieves. I learned that this, I told Brother Mark, the Lord has to give me real life examples of my preaching. And so last week I was in Texas and I was just trying to enjoy a little Thanksgiving time. Actually, not trying, I had a great time. But we went to a store, a sporting goods store there, and we were actually picking up the oil that we needed to fry the turkey. Because in the South, we just fry everything. And so we were going to pick up some oil. And so I had my truck outside, and I have a camper shell, like a little soft top camper shell on my truck, and pull in the store, go in. We were in there, maybe we might have been in there 30 minutes. I don't know. When we come out, the side of my truck, that thing's been ripped open. And I walk out and I go, oh, someone's been in my truck. And walk all the way to the truck. Sure enough, look in there, and they had stolen a couple of toolboxes out of the back of the truck. And it was stuff that I take when I'm traveling, you know, like tools that when you're traveling you need in there. And I was reminded again, here on this old earth, all of our stuff is subject to moths, rust, and thieves. Everything you own requires maintenance. Everything you own requires maintenance. And sometimes it seems like the more stuff we have, the more time and energy we have to put into the stuff that we have. Let me say it another way. The more stuff we have, the more service it takes to maintain the stuff. So what the Lord's doing here is he's saying, show me your treasure. Show me your where are you investing, and I'll tell you where your heart is. Have you ever thought about how much time or even how much money we spend protecting the things that we own? We buy something with money, and we pay more money to make sure no one else can take it. I mean, I have a thing. People love to steal my stuff. I give you a big list. It's almost halfway funny now. I walk out of the store and it's like, oh, I hope they needed that because they got it. And so I got crazy locks on everything and all that, you know, and it's just, man, I'll be glad. I'll be glad on the other side of glory. I won't have to lock my door anymore. I won't have to worry about walking out of a store. I probably won't ever be in a store again. Praise the Lord. But I won't have to walk out of a store and see that someone's, taking a couple of tools out of the back. Owning things is not wrong. I want to be clear. Having money in your bank account is not wrong. Praise God that he's given you what he's given. I'm telling you, God, look, go read about Abraham or Job. Those guys had loads of money. There's nothing wrong with God blessing you and you having things, but you have to have the right perspective and heart attitude about the things. That they are just worldly things. And they're subject to moths. I mean, you can buy a shirt that you think is just wonderful. It costs way too much or whatever. And it's like, oh, this is a great shirt. A moth don't care. It'll just eat it. And then you'll have a garage sale one day. I'll never forget. We had a garage sale one day. I don't like garage sales. I don't like going to them. I don't like having them. I don't like nothing about a garage sale. I'm just not that guy, all right? But anyway, we had a garage sale. I was younger, and I put these shirts in the garage sale on the rack, and I was like, you know, $1 a piece, and they wouldn't sell. And by the end of the day, I had a sign that said free on them. No one would take them. And I'm like, I spent $40 and $50 for these shirts, and no one would even take the shirts. And my friend Chris was there with me, and he was making fun of me the whole time. He said, those shirts aren't even worth free. And he was right. They weren't worth nothing. I had to throw them away. I didn't even try to bring them to Goodwill. I feel like if they weren't even worth free, Goodwill doesn't want them. I'm just saying this. We think our things are worth things. It's not worth nothing. None of this stuff's really worth anything. It's all going to go away someday. We're going to be living this very short existence. On the other side of this, we're going to be living in eternity with Jesus forever and ever and ever. And we're not at that point going to be worried about the toolbox in the back of our truck or the scratch on the door because someone opened the door and dented our car. We're not going to be worried about those things because those are just things. Sometimes our heart is too wrapped up in the things of this world and the possessing of those things and gaining those things. And here's what we've all learned. We can't be satisfied by things. Ask me. I got like 30 fishing poles. I hadn't found the right one yet. You know, it's just a thing. It's just more things. If that's where our heart is, that's where our focus will be. That's where we will serve. I believe the Lord should be able to look down from heaven and say, man, I've blessed these people richly, because He has. He's blessed us richly. And I believe He ought to be able to say, but they understand that the things I blessed them with are mine. And I've given them those things, a stewardship of those things, so that they could serve me better. And that's why He's given us. He's given me money. As I understand it, He's given me money to take care of my family and my church. I believe that. I believe that's why He's given me an ability to earn money, to take care of my family and my church. And I could preach a few messages. I could prove that biblically, that that's what money's for a Christian. You take care of your family and your church. I just wonder, though, where's our heart? We take a look at the end of the road and we say, okay, man, I sure am serving a bunch of stuff right now. Seems like that seems to be my king some days. It's just I gotta serve and gain and get more. What's the problem? Well, back up. Focus. What are you focused on? What are you worried about? What are you concerned with? Do you lay to bed at night and worry about souls? Or do you worry about someone breaking into the back of your truck? What's your concern? What's your focus? Okay, back up a second. Where's your heart? Well, go look for your treasure. When you find your treasure, Jesus says that's where you learn where your heart is. If it's not in the right place, then we need a heart change. Colossians 3 verse 1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. Jot down Luke 12, 16 through 21. Jot down Luke 19, 11 through 27. Jot down Matthew 19, 27 through 30. All passages you can read and go and find that believers are supposed to be more concerned with eternal things than temporal things. We're here for one purpose. And I know we got to take care of our families. God's blessed us. I mean, He's blessed us so much. We have so much. But it's all His. And at which point He desires we use our things for His will, then it's our job to cooperate. Everything that we deal with in this life will one day come to an end. All the earthly stuff. Peter talks about this in 2 Peter. He said, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He's essentially saying, hey, when the Lord comes and gets rid of this world and all the stuff on it, what's going to be left? What's going to be left? One preacher said this, I agree with him. He says, you can't take it with you, but you can send it up ahead. It's a good thought. You say, how does that work? Well, Jesus said, well, everyone who's forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal everlasting life. No, the Lord's promised reward to those who give up things here for His will and for His sake, and they're just sending it up ahead. Missionary Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You say, well, how do I give to the Lord? How can I be sure? Let me ask you a couple questions. Can you trust God? I believe you can. You can trust God. So if He tells us to do something, can you trust Him that if He says, you know, we just in our discipleship time, we just were memorizing Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. If you can you trust God? That's what he told you. He's going to supply all your need. But go read the rest of Philippians. You know what it's about? Giving. He's telling you, okay, you give to me, I'll supply your need. I've heard another preacher say this, God shovels in, I shovel out. He has a bigger shovel. It's very true. So, I'm not telling you go sell all your earthly possessions. I'm telling you, take a good, hard look at them and make sure your heart's right concerning them. If God came to us as He did to Job in one day and took everything we had, well, would our treasure be gone? I would hope not. Probably depends where our treasure is. So, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. That's what you love. Where your heart is, that's where your mind will focus. And where your focus is, that's where your will be, and that's where you will serve. Jesus started by saying this, no man can serve two masters. Father, we do thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth of it. Lord, easier to preach than to live, as always. But God, I do pray You'd help us with this. Lord, we're so tied to the things of this world many times. And we're so wrapped up in our possessions and our things. Lord, I thank You for showing us at times how we're so blessed beyond measure. We don't need all the things You've blessed us with. Lord, help us not to rely on money, rely on things, possessions. Help us to rely on You and use money, possessions, and things for Your honor and glory. We do pray for Your blessings. We pray for Your help living in this world. We know these are things we have to deal with on this side of glory. So help us to use these things wisely and to have the right heart about them. Help us, God, to learn to just serve You and trust You and leave all these other things in Your care. I pray tonight that You would continue to be with Miss Amanda. Lord, I pray even now that You would minister strength to her, help her body to heal from the traumatic couple of days that she's had. I pray, God, that she would get to see the baby some more. Lord, we know that she really hasn't had much time with her. Pray for Brother Luke that You would strengthen him, help him to get a good night's rest tonight. And then, Lord, we do pray for Brother Steve as well. Lord, that You would just help him in the morning. He's got to get up early and go have this last procedure. We just pray all that would go great. And Lord, I know there were many other requests made tonight from the room, lots of things on people's hearts. Lord, we pray You'd be with each need. Well, thank You for it all. We ask in Jesus' name.